We're going to take some waste from around Australia that's currently stored in hospital basements, we're told, but also significantly waste coming back from France, rods that have been reprocessed. What are we talking about here, Barry? Can you explain the nuclear cycle to us as it affects these rods?
Well, Australia has had a nuclear research reactor program since the 1950s. It ran a reactor called HIFAR at Lucas Heights in Sydney for a number of decades, and it's recently opened its OPAL reactor. These are used for research into nuclear physics and also for generating radioisotopes for medicine, so for treating cancers and so on.
Okay, so just stop for a moment, because we've talked about this a lot, but perhaps not with all of the information. There are hospitals around Australia that treat, amongst other things, cancer. The medical equipment, the radioactive stuff that goes to those hospitals is generated at Lucas Heights and one way or another is transported to the many hospitals in Australia and is used in those places, having come from Lucas Heights.
Yes, many of the radioisotopes, the short-lived ones, are generated at Lucas Heights. There are longer-lived ones that can be imported or generated through other means, such as a cyclotron. But generally, one of the principal purposes of a research reactor like the one at Lucas Heights is to generate those medical isotopes that are short-lived, that you need to create quickly and then use them rapidly on patients.
Okay. What else happens there?
Well, you asked me about the spent fuel. To run any sort of nuclear reactor, you need to power it with uranium. And when you run it through a reactor, you will create new elements that are heavier than uranium, such as plutonium, and you have to manage these. Now, we sent our spent fuel rods back to France for reprocessing to extract some of that plutonium, but ultimately we are responsible for storing these spent fuel rods that have accumulated over the last few decades.
Okay, so how often do we generate one of these fuel rods?
Well, the rods run through the reactor about every few years, but they're a very small volume. If you look at the total amount of spent fuel rods we've ever generated in the history of the research reactors in Australia, we're talking about a few a cube, a few metres on the side, so it's a very small amount. It's not like we're running a nuclear power program right now, which obviously generates a lot more.
Okay, so we create these fuel rods. Why do we send them to France?
Well, France has a reprocessing facility where it can extract plutonium out of the fuel rods and then mix that with uranium to create fuel for nuclear power stations. So it's a good way of reducing the radioactivity levels, especially the long-lived radioactivity levels of that fuel. So when it comes back to Australia, then it's considered intermediate-level waste rather than high-level waste, and so it doesn't have as much heat in it, so it's easier to store.
So it's a good deal for both parties. In other words, France can use some of the energy that's stored in these rods, and Australia has them depleted by the handover of that energy so that it's easier for us to deal with when it comes back to our shores.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
I'm imagining these rods as being a little bit like a piece of, you know, Rio, a bit of sort of spun steel. What would happen? I mean, tell me, what would happen? How close can you stand to one of these? What do they look like?
Well, the fuel rods are in an oxide form, so they don't look like a metal. They've got obviously uranium and plutonium metal in them, but yeah, they look more like a white ceramic. The high level wastes in the short term are very radioactive, but they lose a lot of that radioactivity very quickly. So if it just came out of a reactor, you wouldn't be able to go anywhere near it without dropping dead. But after just a few years in a cooling pond, then it's much less radioactive. And the concern for some people over the long term is the slow release of radioactivity over many thousands of years. But in the long term, that's unlikely to be a problem, because I suspect that all spent fuel from both research reactors and power reactors will be reprocessed to make use of all of that uranium and plutonium in nuclear power.
So how much radioactive energy is stored in them by the time they arrive back in Australia for burial or for storage, for dumping?
There's high-level waste is considered waste that produces at least 2 kilowatts per cubic metre, which is about the same power you'd need to boil an electric kettle. Intermediate-level waste has less energy than that. So it's releasing heat as it releases radioactivity, but it's a small amount. So in terms of public safety, you could put a nuclear waste repository in many places in Australia and the public would be entirely safe. It's not an issue of, of radiation damage for people or a difficulty in managing. These are very trivial things to manage in terms of securing a suitable geological site, especially like Australia.
Well, Professor, if that's true, and if you're a traditional owner of Muckaty Station, forgive me for what I'm about to say, why are we putting them in the middle of nowhere?
Well, because of public concern. I mean,
saying the public concern is completely unjustified.
Yeah, I am. I mean, if you look at what's happening in the US right now with spent nuclear fuel, almost all of it is currently stored at the nuclear power sites because there hasn't been a long-term decision yet in the US as to what to do with that spent fuel, whether to reprocess it to take out the long-lived radioactivity or whether to keep it permanently in a geological repository. Ultimately, you have to manage these things over the long term if you want to put it in a geological repository, and there a sensible place to do it is somewhere isolated from people. But in the short term, that's an issue that doesn't need to be dealt with.
Okay. So how do you see this issue at the moment? I mean, you would, I'm sure, Professor, be watching. My guest this morning, by the way, Professor Barry Brook, Professor of Climate Change at Adelaide's Environment Institute. We're talking about what these rods are that we're talking about and what this waste is we're talking about storing at the moment, how dangerous it is, how much of it there is. As you look at this issue being debated nationally at the minute, how do you see it playing out?
Well, I see it as very political right now. All of the states, for political reasons rather than scientific or engineering reasons, are rejecting it, which is kind of strange when you look at the situation internationally. In Sweden, for instance, where they do run nuclear power reactors, they have a short-term issue of what they're going to do with their spent fuel, whether they put it in a repository and reprocess it later. But there are a couple of places in Sweden that were actively bidding for this repository, and only one of them won out, and they were very happy about it because they could see the economic benefits of hosting it there. So in Australia, we've got this situation where people have historically been scared of anything to do with nuclear and not looked at the problem rationally. If you look at it rationally, then any of the states, I think, would be begging to have a repository in their location. Certainly, I'd love to have it in South Australia, but politically, that's a no-go, and you'll see campaigns running to say, we don't want a nuclear waste dump in our area, which is why the NT's come up, because it's under Commonwealth jurisdiction.
Do you think we'll be able to charge the other states and territory to have their waste shipped to us?
Well, that would be a Commonwealth decision. I mean, it would make sense to do that, I think, because it would encourage, and that's certainly why the towns in Sweden have been bidding for it, because they will get financial benefits from doing that. So I think that's a good way to try and encourage people to consider that.
Barry, do you think there's a risk that if you start with low and medium level waste, that what you'll end up with maybe is the pressure on to take higher level waste somewhere down the track?
Well, if we took high-level waste right now, it would have to be from other countries' spent nuclear fuel. And that is a possibility for Australia. There are many places where we have an ideal location to store that. But my view on nuclear power is different to a lot of people's, in that I suspect that there will never be a need for long-term, you're talking about 100,000-year management of nuclear waste, because I think it will be economically sensible and environmentally sensible to reprocess all of that for further energy for nuclear power. We have the technology to strip out all of the long-lived isotopes such that what remains is very small in volume and is less than the radioactivity of natural uranium ore within a few hundred years. We have the technology to do that, so there doesn't need to be any long-lived nuclear waste problem. It's just a matter of the economics of when it's viable to do that sort of reprocessing.
And Barry, just finally this morning, what if there's an accident at the site? This is a question from Ian in Inola.
I'm not sure what sort of accident they could imagine. There can be no nuclear accident. The fuel is not critical or anywhere near it.
Let's have an earthquake. Let's make it measure 7.0 on the Richter scale.
Yeah, well, if we had an earthquake in there, the casks might fall over and need to be stood up again. I mean, that's the level of danger that you're talking about. It's trivial. I mean, these are heavy metals. You can't suddenly aerosolise them and let them float around in a toxic cloud over Australia. I mean, that just sort of thing scientifically can't happen. So I think there's a lot of fear about what might happen. In the US, for instance, in Yucca Mountain, the big debate there has been whether the water table would rise up to a point in many thousands of years' time and start to flush out some of the radioisotopes into the natural water table. And that's been the concern there. That's about the biggest concern you could have for a nuclear waste repository if you left it there in the long term.